on the Davidson Sports Network. The Bob McKillop Show is on the air, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show is brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet, and by Ortho Carolina, you improved. Now, here's the voice of Davidson basketball, Jared Letch, joining head coach Bob McKillop.
Welcome inside the Vance Athletic Center on the campus of Davidson College. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Alongside head coach Bob McKillop, I'm Jared Letch as we dive into a variety of topics. And coach, I want to start with a quick recap of last week's Atlantic 10 contest. First with the game here against Belk Arena against Richmond. It was a 70-64 loss, a game in which the Cats struggled from the outside, just 8 of 33 from three-point range.
Well, clearly it was a game that we had opportunities, open shots, but did not capitalize upon it. And however, we took that into the defensive end, and Richmond picked us apart defensively, very, very well coached, an efficient offensive team. They play a very sloughing kind of defense that kind of invites you into making passes, but they cover the passing lane so well. They really break on the ball very, very well, and they challenge shots, but you will get shots, and you just got to knock them down.
And something on the Davidson side that crept into that game was turnovers, which puts your defense in a tough spot transition-wise.
Yeah, we gave up a couple of pick sixes that led to them getting the lead, and we just cannot do that. But that's a team that capitalizes upon that, particularly Gilliard. He's one of the leaders in the conference in steals.
Was there anything positive, Coach, that you took out of that game that you were able to build on?
Well, the positives are what you do in response to the game, and the positives came to fruition yesterday at Fordham. We made a determination that we were going to have to use the entire roster, and we're going to give everyone a chance in the first half, and that was evident yesterday in the Fordham game.
So moving on to that game, 74-62 win yesterday at Rose Hill Gym. In the Bronx, early struggles in that first half. A lot of that had to do with their high screen action that led to some easy buckets for them down low.
Well, the ball screen action really gave us problems because we didn't impact the ball. We were very tentative on our heels and unaggressive. We also struggled making some passes and catches, and again, tentative, unaggressive, not fighting for the ball, not being sharp with our fakes and sharp with our passes. Despite the fact that we started as poorly as we did, I think we're down 9 points at one section of the first half. We never stopped fighting. Even the tap was a pretty good indication of the mindset of our guys. We fought for the tap. We got on the floor for the tap. They got the first possession, and we did a wonderful job of playing and impacting the ball and got a steal on the first possession. And then we did not become aggressive offensively.
It's one of the guys that was aggressive on your side offensively. It was Carter Collins, especially early in the game. He was trying to take it to the hole.
Yeah, he had a great seal from Luka and drove to the baseline and got a layup. He rose up very hard on a dribble penetration, and Luka again found him at the top of the key for a three. So we got a little bit of a lift after being down 6-0 from Carter getting us on the board.
Talk about Mike Jones. He has struggled to get shots off. Yesterday, he was a catalyst and a spark in that first half.
He certainly was, and he got 9 shots in the game, and it was nice to see that some of his shots were not just three-pointers, that he got a couple of layups, and I think that's got to be added to his arsenal. He's got to do more for us than just catch shoot threes, and we've addressed that in the aftermath of the Richmond game, and again, that could be a positive coming out of that Richmond game.
You think, Coach, if he's able to make that adjustment, that will lead to more shots, and is there a component where you'll look to get him more shots?
You know, it's interesting that he has that brace on his knee, and of course it vividly reminds us of Luke Frampton. And you can remember Luke in that first year after his ACL, he did not attack the hole. He did not use the dribble very well. Once he discarded that brace in his second year, early this year, he was able to attack the hole a lot better. And we think Mike is still going through that transition from the recovery from the ACL and the brace on his knee to where he's fully letting go of his basketball abilities.
Look at other contributions in that second half. Guys off the bench, specifically Bates Jones, had a nice afternoon. Nelson came in and blocked three shots.
Well, Nelson and Bates and even David Christensen gave us some very valuable minutes and allowed us to have stamina, allowed us to show different looks, because Nelson, David, and Bates are all different in what they do for us at the 4-5 spot. Then they're certainly different than what Mike is and what Luka is. So you got five guys manning that 4-5 spot. Then we made that determination after Richmond we had to use them.
Now, that second half effort, which was extremely strong, and we talked in the pregame about rekindling some joy, having people let go and play a little more freer on the court. Did you see that happen?
I just had a look at John Axel's eyes and know that that transition had occurred. Sitting on the bench during a timeout frequently in the Richmond game, in the Rhode Island game, in the Duquesne game, there was this glazed look on John's eyes. And there was a much more excited, enthusiastic, inspiring look on his face, not just on the bench, but on the court yesterday. And I think that became a catalyst for us really enjoying what we were doing.
Speaking of John, his full body of work here at Davidson with the rest of the season yet to go, became yesterday only the fourth player in program history to log 500 assists.
Quite an accomplishment considering all the great guards that have played here, dating back to Lefty's time period with the guys like Dick Snyder and Dave Moser and Barry Teague and Huckle. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And of course, in the last 30 years, we've had the Chris Alperts, and we've had Stephen Curry's, and we've had the Jason Richards, and we've had Jack Gibbs and Tyler Kalinowski. So we've had great guards in our program who have been able to make assists, and to see that John fits up there with those top performers is a statement of how good he's been for us.
That takes us into our first break. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Davidson-New York ties and a relevant discussion on a historic holiday such as today, among other topics. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Jared Latch, Bob McKillop, back with you. Yesterday, Coach Rose Hill Gym. It was really a who's who of Davidson basketball family in the crowd among all the A-10 road venues. How much do you enjoy playing in front of the Davidson Network in New York City?
Well, you know, it's such a storied building for me, because I used to go and watch games there as a kid because my last high school game was played there. So I have such treasured memories from going to Rose Hill. And then, of course, to see our crowd, which was spectacular yesterday, and just the diversity of our crowd. You know, first of all, we get off the plane and it's snowing, and it's the first time that Sam Menenga had ever seen snow. That was quite a marvelous experience to see. And, of course, the guys playing around, throwing snowballs at him. Then on Saturday night, when we arrived, Cal Freundlich quickly left our team meal to go have dinner with his parents, Bart and Julianne Moore, and it was Bart's 50th birthday celebration, and they were gracious and gave us the birthday cake, which they brought back for the team from Magnolia, a very famous place in New York City. And then you look in the stands with all the family of our players, the family of our coaching staff, and you see the alums. Peter Andrew was there. Brendan McKillop was there. Kenny Grant Sr., the dad of Kenny Grant, was there. Players from Holy Trinity, players from Long Island Lutheran, players from Prospect Park, and our alums, you know, terrific to see so many of them there as well. Tim Goodell was there, who was here when I was an assistant back in 78-79, and his daughter Katie right now is a manager for our team. Ryan Mee was there. It was, and I'm missing so many because there were so many there, but what a great crowd we had.
And speaking of New York, Coach, when you look at your coaching philosophies and starting there and playing there, how much of that foundation you just continue to build upon now?
You know, the coaching philosophy that I have is stolen from so many guys, dating back to Red Auerbach, to John Wooden, to Dean Smith, to Bobby Knight, to Al McGuire, to Lou Carnesecca. I mean, I was fortunate to be in a time period growing up as a coach where there are so many legends and so many Hall of Famers. And I was also fortunate to play in the schoolyards and the playgrounds. And I think there was a lot to be learned when you play there. When there's not the glass backboards and there's not nets and there's no you have to think to create because the wind's going to blow your jump shot, so you have to find different ways to get the ball on the rim. I think there's a lot of lessons that are learned from those experiences.
With today being Martin Luther King Day, I want to look back at a pivotal year. It was 1966. Mike Malloy, who's being inducted into the Davidson Athletics Hall of Fame, became the first African-American player in Davidson history under Lefty Driesell. And just discuss the impact of Mike's career, helping to put the Cats on the national map, and his induction into the Hall of Fame later this season.
You know, it's sometimes so hard for me to realize where we are today with race relations to where we were back in the 60s and the 50s and the 40s, etc. And thankfully, Martin Luther King was a catalyst to and a sensational catalyst to move our race relations forward. And of course, sports has always been a mirror of society. And as we saw Mike Malloy come to Davidson, as we saw Charlie Scott go to North Carolina, Norwood Tobin go to Wake Forest, we saw the integration of college athletics in the 60s. And Mike certainly was a star in that regard. One of the most well-liked guys here on campus, an incredible performer, just an engaging personality, and for him to generate the kind of support, enthusiasm, and love that he did to be inducted into their fraternity at the expense of being expelled from the national fraternity gives you an indication of the kind of magnetic personality he had, and also the kind of guys that were at Davidson. And I know that Joel Williamson was one of those leaders in that capacity, and just marvelous to see now that Davidson is doing such a consistent job of recognizing how much that has meant to our college.
A follow-up to that, Coach. Lefty was recruiting Charlie Scott that same year as well, and Charlie went to UNC and played at Chapel Hill. And ironically, Lefty and Charlie both inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame together 2 years ago.
Yeah, it kind of gave us who were at that event a glimpse of the relationship between Charlie and Lefty. And despite the fact that North Carolina and Maryland were such adversaries back in those days, and North Carolina and Davidson were adversaries for several of those years, for them to have that relationship from the recruiting process as cemented and deep-rooted as it was very impressive to see.
One final question, sticking with this theme. 1966, Texas Western started 5 African-American players, beat Kentucky and Coach Rupp and Cool Fieldhouse in Maryland that year. Really a significant impact on college basketball, and actually, to say the least.
You know, it's really interesting, the parochial mindset that I have. I never thought of Texas Western having 5 black players. I thought of Texas Western having 4 New Yorkers. and that's why I rooted for Texas Western, because they had 4 New Yorkers on the team. And, you know, I sometimes don't get, you know, I always don't get mesmerized by the color, the religion. But if you're from New York, I know it.
An interesting note, too, Davidson alumni and GM of Learfield IMG here, Peyton Gallagher. He wrote his Davidson history thesis on the role of that 1966 Texas Western team and everything that went along with it. And Coach, one more about Davidson, and you've talked about this before. What a wonderful picture it is in a snapshot to bring people together from different race, religion, ethnicity, social economic backgrounds to give people a snapshot of what the world should look like.
And of course, we're trying to expand that. bring in Sam Menenger in here from New Zealand, who is a native New Zealander. His dad's from Germany. His mom is from Poland. His It's remarkable diversity, not just with the religion, with the nationality, with the skin color, with the socioeconomic background, but the parental background is extraordinary as well.
All right, so we have time for a couple questions here in this segment. This one from Greg Johnson goes back to yesterday's game. What was going on with Luka as far as getting two shots in 19 minutes?
They fronted him the entire game. And and they do a great job. That's historically what Fordham does. So we could not throw a direct pass into him. And Luka did a marvelous job of sacrificing to get our team a reward. So normally a lot of guys, when they're fronted, they'll give up that space. Luka kept fighting for it. And because he kept fighting for it, he occupied that defender. So you recall the second basket that Carter actually got was all because the help defender, the shot blocker, was so concerned about fronting Luka that he couldn't help on the penetration that Carter made. And that was a consistent part of when Luka was out there, that that defensive player was so locked into Luka that he couldn't be a help defender.
Second question here. What changed defensively from the first to second half? 41 points versus 21 there in that second half.
I thought we were on our heels in the first half. In the second half, we impacted the basketball. In other words, instead of waiting for them to come to us, we went to them. And you use the expression, make them feel you, impact the basketball. Those are the vernacular that we use in practice. And I thought there was a much more visible presence of impacting the ball. And there was much better support behind the ball. So we kind of zoned up behind the ball, but impacted the presence of the ball. So the pass was a little bit slower. It's like a blitz in a quarterback. Not necessarily that we were trying to steal the ball, but we were trying to make him pass under duress. And I thought we did a pretty good job of that.
With everything that happened well in that second half, Coach, what was your high-level takeaway from finishing out that game so strong?
Well, the high-level takeaway was the transition we made from being on our heels to being the aggressor, from being the ones who retaliated to the ones who instigated. So we went from retaliation to instigation, and that, I think, was pivotal in the outcome.
Well, that takes us into another break. When we come back, we'll look ahead at the upcoming week as we preview the Wildcats' next opponent, the St. Louis Billikens, who come into Belk Arena Wednesday night. As the Bob McKillop Show rolls on, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to Davidson College. Jared Latch alongside Bob McKillop, head coach of the Wildcats. Time to look ahead at our next opponent, the St. Louis Billikens. And the Billikens right now sitting at 14-4, 3-2 in A-10 play. And, Coach, this will be another talented, physical, veteran team coming off a hard-fought overtime loss against what is now a top-10 Dayton team.
Yes, they had a great performance against Dayton. They went toe-to-toe with them and had the lead for a good part of the game, and Dayton managed to make a three in overtime with 1 second, 2 seconds to win the game. Prior to that game against Dayton, St. Louis went through Richmond and really did a tremendous job of attacking Richmond and came away with a big victory. They've had great performances all year long, and Of course, Hassan French is sensational. It seems like he's been around for 10 years, as has Jordan Goodwin. They're the two key players on a team, but they're surrounded by a lot of very good players.
In their team, St. Louis, Coach, they don't shoot a lot of threes, only six on Friday night against Dayton. They really look to get the ball inside and off the dribble.
Well, they like to penetrate you with the dribble. They like to pound it inside to the big guys, and they like to get it off the glass, and they're incredibly efficient at that. So they're going to hit you in every way possible. They're very, very strategic about their three. They can knock it down, but they're not going to shoot a lot of them.
Looking at what the Wildcats look to do on the boards, naturally, physical team, it's going to occur in the trenches and down low. Talk about the gang rebounding philosophy and just the physical match that you have to return.
Well, every shot there's a camera on you, and the camera determines whether or not you make an effort to get that ball. And we use the expression, there are no boundaries, and every ball is a 50-50. So the first thing we have to do is we have to see then we have to, by seeing where it's the angle is, who's got a potential to get it, and then we got to go surround it and swarm on it and get five guys to the ball.
Coach, what will be the keys to success on Wednesday night?
Well, you know, you can't discard or discount the terrific defense that they play. They're outstanding with ball pressure. They're going to make us fight for every catch. They're going to make us really be concerned with holding the ball and being able to make a pass under duress. They're going to really clog up the lane. They're going to shot block. So we have got to be really efficient with the passing, with the catching, and with the decision-making. Once we do pass and catch, we've got to be really smart. And that's going to take details, and it's going to take discipline. So the three Ds, decisions, details, and discipline are going to be essential.
This game's in the midst of 4 out of 5 at home. Is it nice to get back into a little bit of a routine here in your own confines?
We don't think about that very much. We really don't. Once conference play starts, you know you have to play 9 at home and 9 on the road, and you take it where they come. And you just have to look at each game as a conference game. And we said the other night after the Richmond game, we're 0-0. Well, we're not 1-0 right now since that Richmond game. We're 0-0, and that's the way we got to take it.
Well, Coach, finally, any thoughts before we close down?
Thoughts.
Words of wisdom. Anything else you want to share?
I'm really encouraged by the confidence that our players are giving to me. We were really knocked to the mat, Richmond. We were knocked to the mat by Duquesne, by Rhode Island, almost knocked to the mat by St. Joe's. And, you know, you could spiral out of control and say, woe is me, or you could say, yeah, we don't have it this year. And our guys came to practice Thursday with a kind of energy that really validated why we do what we do, affirmed to me that they're very, very much still trying to do everything we're asking, and they're doing it at 100% effort. And that's very encouraging, and that built my confidence Thursday, built my confidence Friday, and built my confidence Saturday as we prepared for Fordham. So they allowed me to be confident going into that game on Sunday, and what a joy to coach those kind of young men and that kind of roster when you know that they're giving their best.
Coach, thank you as always for your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Jared.
We're going to take one final timeout. We'll come back and wrap things up here on the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. We want to remind you to join us for our next broadcast Wednesday, January 22nd, 6:45 on the Davidson Radio Network as the Wildcats host St. Louis here inside Belk Arena. The Wildcats will stay at home for a Saturday 6 o'clock tip against George Mason. Our airtime for that radio broadcast will be 5:45. And exciting news, join us for our home games throughout A-10 play. And your good friend from DavidsonWildcats.com, Justin Parker, who will be on the broadcast. Well, for Bob McKillop, I'm Jared Latch. Have a great rest of your Martin Luther King Day, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show has been brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet. And by Ortho Carolina, you improved. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Davidson Sports Network.